What it is, everybody? Welcome to episode 47 of Fish and Connoisseur a Movie. My name's David Pether, but you can call me Fish. With me, as always, is my favorite sack of shit.
Connor McDuff, whatever, you get the joke.
Tied in. Very well. Well done indeed.
Thank you.
If you haven't noticed, we're probably going to be reviewing a little film called Mission Impossible Rogue Nation.
Hang on, one sec.
Is that your anus?
That was my anus.
Well done.
That was my anus. Thank you so much.
Well done. Very well done.
Thank you.
Connor.
That was so good. Yeah.
Have you been watching this new show on Netflix called
Wet Hot American Summer?
What is this awesomeness?
It's fucking amazing. It's a prequel to the original cult 2001 classic film, Wet Hot American Summer, and the film, which I saw last night, is The Last Day of Summer Camp, and all of these actors, it was 15 years ago they shot it, so all of these actors are actually the age they're meant, like, they look the age they're meant to be. This one is a prequel, and I'm not even shitting you, Fish, you need to watch the movie, because there are so many jokes that are even funnier after the movie. Mainly the fact that, like, a lot of the things that happen in the movie happen in the show. I don't know. It's fucking amazing. It's so funny. I binged watched the entire season the night it came out with Shay. We're like, let's watch one episode. 4 hours later, we'd finished.
Yeah.
Oh, my fucking God.
Yes.
The best.
I was dangerously close to that today. I sat down and watched it. And I didn't realize anything. I don't know anything about it. I haven't seen the original film. And all I saw was these old guys pretending to play 17-year-olds. And I just lost my shit. Yeah. And when fucking Paul Rudd rocked up, I was in. It's fucking fantastic.
You sure you want to take a slice of this long greasy dick? God, he's funny. It's just so. And like, I think it's probably my favorite TV show on at the moment. The whole thing just takes the piss out of itself. Like, the whole show is just a piss take, and it gets away with it because it's so fucking well done. I love it so much. I can't. Oh my God.
Yeah.
I want to watch it again.
Hey, well, it's on Netflix, and everybody can watch it, basically, because everyone's on Netflix now, which is good to see.
Woo! I'm very happy.
Yeah, me too. It's a revolution.
Do you guys want to hear some shit stuff that's happened to me lately?
Sure.
Fucking hell. So after I saw Mission Impossible last night, I get in my car. It was 12 o'clock. I was knackered. My brake light was out, and my headlight was also out, and my car smelt like sour apple. Because the night before, a friend of mine had bought a bottle of Goon, which had leaked into my seats. I get home to find on my desk, my car rego is due. So that's another $400 gone.
That's cool.
And I got a fucking speeding ticket for going 6 kilometers over. And now I owe the government $157. Motherfuck.
That's so funny because you're such a careful driver too.
I am.
I'm a grandma, an old lady. Yeah.
And it's down a hill. It was down a hill. I'm looking at the photo though, and I'm clearly braking in the photo, like trying to slow down. They fucking, those bastards. And
were you slowing down?
Only one of my brake lights are on.
Only one of them.
In the photo, there's only one brake light working. Fuck yeah.
Were you trying to slow down because you saw the camera?
No, I didn't even know the camera was there. I wouldn't have been so surprised. I was trying to slow down because you know me. I don't drive. I don't speed. I don't speed ever.
No, you don't.
And this has fucking happened. My brake. Oh, fuck my life, man. God damn. Anyway, at least I saw it.
Yeah.
At least it, maybe.
When it rains, it pours, man. There's probably going to be more shit coming your way, just so you know.
Damn, yeah.
Especially with car shit. Fucking hell. Every time something goes wrong with my car, it's, yeah, the same sort of deal. Bills and regos and fines and then mechanical repair. Fuck, let's not talk about it. Why are we even talking about this? This is a movie review podcast. God damn it, Connor.
I just wanted to fill the audience with my life. They care about me. I care about
them. That's true.
I rant and then I'm done with them, you know? Like, I don't need to talk about it later.
Yeah.
I will, but I don't need to.
Well, I just came from a second viewing of a film that I actually helped make a few years ago.
Yeah.
I was a second unit director on this film called Me and My Mates versus the Zombie Apocalypse.
Oh, I'm so jealous because I really like Shooter Williamson, who's a comedian in this, and apparently it's quite funny. So. Yeah,
it's fucking hilarious. Like he's like the star, and then you've got Greg Fleet, who's another big comedian who just steals the fucking show. But it's basically Bogans versus zombies. So I was down from the start, and it was like I had the premiere of it. Was last Friday, and I flew to Sydney and got all suited up and did the whole premiere thing, which was nice, and watched it with a full audience for the first time, and everybody really, really responded to it, and it was even better tonight because I saw it at the Crown Casino here at in Melbourne.
Oh, nice!
And it was just there was nobody from the cast or crew there. It was just like a completely random. Audience, and to see them reacting and laughing and getting into the film as well was really cool. So there's a few screenings around Australia. I think there's one in Brisbane soon. We might have to post something up on our Facebook about that one for people to get.
I'll be there. You guys never met me before, and you're keen. Let me know. I'll be there.
He'll sign you a fingernail.
I'll sign you a fingernail.
But enough plugging of my own shit. Let's. I also saw Trainwreck in a preview screening over the weekend.
Yeah, I've seen the film as well. We're going to review that, right?
No. No.
What?
Because next week.
Why?
Next week is Fantastic Four, man.
Ah! I don't want to!
And that's why we need to do it.
Mm, ah!
What do you think of Trainwreck?
I loved it so much.
Yeah, me too.
See, I loved it so much. Fucking much.
This is why we can't review it.
Yeah! It was so good. Like, Amy Schumer, you got my heart. I mean, your stand-up's all right because all you do is make cock jokes, and the whole reason everybody is so appealed to you is because you're a pretty white girl who's doing something no one's ever done, like a girl's never done before, but still... You wrote a damn good movie, friend, and you acted well.
Well, I think her appeal is that she's not that, like, overly pretty. Like, she is pretty, but she's not, like, I wouldn't say that's her appeal.
No, I mean, her appeal is that she's saying shit that isn't expected to be said from a girl like Amy Schumer. It's impressive. Yeah. I love her. I think it's great. She knows what she's doing. I'm impressed. I think she's a fantastic comic. I just noticed it. I was watching a lot of her stand-up, and it's very much like... Dick jokes and vagina jokes.
Yeah, like, but there are other girls out there that do that.
Yeah, no, she's just fucking way better at it. Her delivery's on.
This is true. And she's such a piece of shit in this movie too. I love it. I love it so much. Like, it's nice to see, you know, I guess just like, because it's always, you know, in a relationship comedy, it's usually the dude who's, you know, a little bit promiscuous. You know, he's not really faithful, and she's the one who just wants to have fun with life, and she's doesn't want to settle down. And you know, it's good to see that side of things. And she did it so well. It's written fucking perfectly, and Judd Apatow and her together is just like a perfect combination. Like, I've talked about how much I like Judd Apatow, and he's come back again with this film. Like, it's fantastic.
And Bill Hader, I saw so much of myself in Bill Hader when he argues. I was like, that's how I fucking argue. Exactly what Bill Hader does. I loved
it. Whatever, I could see you getting angrier.
Fuck off, you piece of shit. Person. You haven't been in a fucking relationship with me, you dickhead. I'm not talking about arguing about films.
I pretty much am in a relationship with you right now.
You're in a very unstable relationship with me where I get on this fucking thing and I need to yell because I'm talking about fucking movies. I don't yell at people I love.
Oh, except, ouch, man.
God damn.
Ouch.
Except for you.
But,
no, I yell on this. I don't yell at other people in my life. I do,
bullshit.
Actually. But I yell at everyone.
Bullshit.
Yell at everyone.
But back to the film. What about, I really like their use of the cameos as well. LeBron James was fucking really cool in this. And he's got some chops. And, you know, we were talking a little, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast, but when you were in Melbourne.
Space Jam 2.
In it, so I'm pretty happy now after seeing this. I think he's going to be quite, you know, Michael Jordan couldn't really act, LeBron kind of can.
I wonder if it will happen though. I mean, it was posted on the Roadshow Facebook page, but who knows.
I feel like it will. I feel like, especially after seeing this, I feel like it will. And then John Cena as well. They both had like really significant parts in the film as well, which I was happy about. They weren't just like a let's just throw this celebrity in and, you know, as a cool cameo. They actually were p- part of the plot.
Yeah, I was glad. John Cena was great too.
I think they pushed the gay jokes a little bit too far with him at some points, but he was generally pretty funny.
I agree. I liked John Cena. I liked everyone in this movie. Everyone's likable in the way they're meant to be. This movie was great.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan, a huge fan of this film.
Yeah. Yeah. It was
good. Good God.
All right, shall we get on to our actual review of
Mission
Impossible Rogue Nation. Dun, 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 dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. We got it.
Yeah, sweet. Well, this is the fifth film. Did you watch any of the other ones? You haven't seen any of them, have you?
Literally have not seen any of them.
So this is your first step into the world of Mission Impossible and Ethan Hunt.
It is.
All right, well let's tag team a fucking plot summary and get into this bitch.
Nothing better than tag teaming things, bitches, with my friend Fish.
That's our relationship, That's our relationship.
Tag teaming bitches.
So we're basically at a point where the organization that Tom Cruise's character works for, Ethan Hunt works for, the IMF, the Impossible
Mission Force.
They are folding. They're a bit too reckless. And the CIA has decided that they need to basically fuck off, and the CIA is going to take all their usable assets. Ethan Hunt is already deep cover trying to foil what would you call them? Like a rogue nation, a rogue organization called the Syndicate, who are basically
the
bad guys of this film, and he's been onto them and trying to
pretty much the fucking Illuminati is what it is. Like the Syndicate is the Illuminati. It's the same thing. An organization that works for themselves and tries to run the world and run the system their way and assassinate whoever they want and do whatever they want. It's fucking the Illuminati, okay? We all know Tom Cruise, Scientology. It's a message. Be careful, guys.
So in this movie, they're called the Syndicate. And yeah. They're a bunch of bad guys. And Ethan Hunt is hunting them down. And he basically stays deep cover because now he has the CIA on his tail as well. And his old mates from IMF eventually come in and help him out.
Isn't he always like a fugitive though? Isn't that the thing?
Yeah.
He's always been sought after by everyone. Like no one likes him. Is that the whole deal?
We'll get into it.
Okay.
So you've got the likes of Simon Pegg as, what's his name? Benji. You got Jeremy Renner, who I don't think is in the other ones. I can't remember from. He's kind of like their leader.
He's probably in Ghost Protocol, I'm imagining.
Yeah, maybe.
He's like the Nick Fury to Tom Cruise's Hawkeye.
Yeah, pretty much. and then you got Ving Rhames, who just keeps coming back, and he's there, all his team, they keep helping him out.
He's a bad motherfucker.
He meets, what's her name? Isla?
I don't know.
Some badass British chick.
Yeah, she was attractive.
Fucking double agent all over the place. And there's a bunch of double crossing going on. And in the end, they all come together to beat the Syndicate and live happily ever after.
Yeah, that's pretty much it.
There's so many fucking twists and shit in this movie, though. It just, I was finding it hard to keep up and remember it all right now, to be honest. But
I got it. I thought it was okay. It's a movie about agents, like one betrays the other, then turns out that's okay, and then blah, 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 blah. But yeah, I didn't find it too tough to follow, that thing.
Like, it wasn't hard to follow, but I think I just kind of was zoning out a lot in this. But I guess we'll talk about that. But when we talk, basically, Mission Impossible 1, at least, he's a rogue agent. His own organization is trying to come after him, which is what when I'm watching this, I'm just like, this is just the same thing. This is the same thing again. What is happening here?
It just seems like it. I don't know. I was watching it. I'm like, I swear to God, Mission Impossible is literally about Tom Cruise being chased by everyone.
Yeah, and I barely remember him. Like I watched them all when Ghost Protocol came out, but I don't know. Like I've always quite liked them. They've always been good films. We spoke about this a little bit last week. Like Mission Impossible 2 is kind of the black sheep of the family, but it's
yeah, it's supposed to be trash, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolute trash, but it's like, it's kind of fun.
What's bad about it?
I don't know. It kind of goes Power Rangers style. That's what I remember. Like, it's just really over the top. But my memory of it is just like really cool action scenes. So that's like,
yeah.
And that's kind of what I want from this shit. Like, I remember, you know, there's in Mission Impossible 3, there was like a really cool action scene on a bridge where like cars and shit were flying everywhere. It's really cool. In Mission Impossible 1, they have like the, you know, the infiltration scene where he hangs from the roof, and which is, you know, the big scene of the series, I would say. And then number 4 had him fucking scaling those huge buildings in Dubai or wherever it is, and like, it's just always awesome action set pieces is what I mean. And this movie had fucking heaps of cool action in it, like,
holy shit, the plane at the start, fuck, that was badass.
Oh, let's talk about that, because I actually really love the way that they used the plane scene, because they fucking push that shit. That's like the biggest selling point of this film through the trailers. It's on the poster, like, and it's been like pushed out there that, you know, he actually did that, like, he was actually hanging off the side of the plane, which is super cool, like, fucking hell.
And they straight up just throw it in your face straight away.
Yeah, like, that's it. It's like the opening of the film, and then it's kind of like, okay, this is what you've seen, because that's what they showed most of the time. Like, I remember a little bit of, like, you know, the IMF like folding and all that sort of thing, but everybody's like, yeah, the plane. So I like that they get it, they smash it, and they do it fucking well, and then into the story. Like,
it was badass.
We were talking last week about shitty fucking marketing with Terminator and giving away way too much.
This did well.
No, this is perfect. Perfect marketing. Yeah. I love it.
Da-da-da! Da-da-da! It's in my head.
Yeah, it can't. It'll be there for a while.
Benji, open the door! That's so good.
And he opens the wrong door.
This film, I've realized, like, when I was watching this film, speaking of the action scenes, I'm just going to take a swing in the dark with the clips I've seen from the other Mission Impossible films, but I feel like this series is just one of the best for action suspense. Like, the way you feel, like, the way I felt watching those action scenes, like, it's in the fucking title. It just seems impossible every time. Yeah. And even though it's movie logic, it just does it so well. And every single time, I was so satisfied with the outcome.
Yeah, yeah.
Specifically that assassination scene.
Oh,
in there.
That was cool.
Like, that was so long. That was such a tiring, exhausting scene. You watch him go up the stairs, follow the guy around. There's another person. You're like, wait, there's two assassins. What's going on? You don't know what's happening. Tom Cruise has no idea. He gets to the fisticuffs as one, but you're like, well, it doesn't fucking matter because there's another bad guy.
Yeah.
And then there's a third bad guy.
And then the friggin' light racks are moving. And
yeah.
And the end... He's doing this all above a fucking opera
theater,
audience,
so
he has to be discreet about it. Yeah,
it's so over the top, and there's so much going on that I was watching it literally on the edge of my seat, anxious. I was like, I was knackered, but like subconsciously, I was like, oh my fuck! Like, I was stressed. I was like, holy shit, it's too much. I was like, what's going on? Who's killing who? And then just like that, like just in an instant, everything is resolved straight away. It made sense. I was like, that's fucking great. Like, that's so cool. What just happened?
Benji coming into the room at the right time, and she turns around, like, and sees him. Yeah. No, it was really well
done. Shoots the guy in the arm, and I was like, oh, that's brilliant. Like, that's a brilliant scene. And they did it. I think every action scene kind of ended that way.
Well, my highlight was the big chase. The motorbike chase, and like even how that starts off. They're in that BMW, and then they meet up with Jeremy Renner and Ving Rhames at one halfway through the chase. And you know, and then fucking is it Jeremy Renner says, oh, we're in a middle of a fucking chase, and you had to get the fucking truck.
Yeah.
And then like it's just like slows down for a sec, and then fucking way back into it. Benji's freaking out, and we're freaking out because Tom Cruise just went through just before this chase, he went through another fucking incredible scene where he fucking suffocates trying in that underwater cooling.
That was too much, man. That was just too much.
Man, it was so intense. Like,
so stressful.
Like, and I'm actually glad that he did suffocate. Like, because I was like, no, you're not getting out of there. And he, you know, he was right there, and they do that first person shot of his hands just slipping off the lever to get out. And then, yeah, obviously that chick comes in and saves him. But, you know, so he's already groggy. He's basically drunk driving in this chase scene. And then they flip the car and you think, oh, okay, that's it. And then Ethan Hunt's like, nah, fuck this. I'm not done. Yeah. Jumps on the
bike
and keeps going. And then it's even more intense. Fucking motherfuckers just falling off the bikes everywhere, going like into incoming traffic. Oh, it was just so orchestrated.
I really like Ethan Hunt after watching this movie, because his character, like the whole Impossible Task Force, and you watch Tom Cruise play this character, and it's like half luck, half skill. And because you kind of expect Tom Cruise to be like Ethan Hunt, because the description is he's unstoppable, you know, like this character is the best.
Yeah.
And I'm watching it and you just expect him to be pretty much like an 80s action hero, like perfect.
Mm.
Doesn't fail. But like Tom Cruise's character fucks up all the time.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
He's as average as a superhuman can pretty much be. And I love it because you get more stressed watching him because he feels normal and somehow just fucking gets away with it. Plus, in that chase scene, he was wearing the coolest shirt.
Yeah.
And there's just this one. Did you agree? Yeah. Did you look at his shirt?
That red shirt.
That's a dope shirt. And you and I have problems. I was like, there's literally one shot of him with aviators on. Yeah. I love that he picks up the aviators from
the broken car. Well. They foregrounded that really well as well. Like when the car flips, they're like on the roof because it's upside down, and I was like, oh, somebody's got to fucking put those on. He just chucks them on and gets on the bike. Well, what you just said with him you know, being as awesome as a human super person can be is all summed up in a fucking awesome little it's like a little connection between him and Benji at one point, when Benji says to him, it's probably about a 3-minute swim down there, and then and then only a minute to put the hard drive in and take it out. You could do that, and you kind of just see Tom Cruise go, "What the fuck?"
Yeah,
like I don't think I can, but you know, everybody thinks that he's such a badass, and like, you know, just expects that he can just do anything because he can hang off the side of planes and jump across fucking buildings and do anything. But then you just see that little bit of like fucking doubt in Tom Cruise's look, and I was just like, that's fucking awesome.
It's a brilliant, I don't know, I really liked it. I don't think I could get behind 5 movies of watching him awkwardly fuck things up and get away with it, but this is the first one, I really liked it.
Well, yeah, saying that, like this is where I think we're going to differ a little bit. Like, I'm a little bit tired of it.
Yeah.
And I really found that watching this film. It might have just been the zone that I was in today, but like I was talking about before, that I kind of zoned in and out a little bit.
I did the same thing.
And like when the action was going, I was fucking there, man. I was like, this is what I've come to see, because that's what I remember from the other movies. Yeah, there was fucking betrayal and twists and turns and spy shit and all that sort of thing, but it was more, I just got to see Tom Cruise, you know, jump across buildings in, you know, climbing a fucking building, one of the biggest buildings in the world sort of thing like that. And there's like a really sick fucking motorbike scene in Mission Impossible 2 it's basically like shit that would happen in an anime, like people battling on bikes. It's fucking so cool, but like so fucking over the top as well. Which is what I expect from these movies, and that's what all I really care. So, like, I got what I wanted. We've just talked about a lot of this shit, but there was a lot of downtime.
There's a lot of exposition in this film, and some of it was really cool, but other times it felt a little irrelevant. Like, it felt like they could have raised the stakes a little more, which was disappointing. But I mean, to be honest, anything with Jeremy Renner and Tom Cruise and Simon Pegg, I was happy to watch because.
Yeah.
They're all very compelling actors, but anything with the supporting characters, I was a little more disappointed.
Yeah, I found basically all the bullshit with
Alec Baldwin.
No, actually, I quite liked Alec Baldwin.
Me too.
I think a lot of his shit was, it started to get old, but like I really like him, and I think he did a really good job. I just don't know if his scenes were written as well as they could have been.
It was just heavy
exposition dump on a lot of his part.
I loved his stuff, to be honest. It was actually nice to me to watch him. I was like, oh, cool, I like this. The other stuff, though. Yeah.
The chick was... I found that a lot of... you know, when she was kind of trying to explain her side of things, it started to slow down. I started to just, like, not care. And like, it was when, you know, when we finally find out that, you know, she's British intelligence or whatever they're called, and she has that little meeting with the British guy, I started to get a little more interested in her because there's something about her, and like, I didn't not like her, but it was just something about a lot of her scenes that just seemed really slow and, it slowed things down way too much for me. And there was a few bits with Simon Pegg as well, but mostly I just really like Simon Pegg, so it's hard to not...
It's hard to hate a perfect human. he's fucking great, isn't he? I loved his bit with the lie detector. That was spot on. Yeah. That was actually really good.
I like he's playing Halo at work. Fucking
bit of product placement there, Halo 5. Like, they slams the thing shut. I was like, oh, God.
Yeah. But like, do you agree? Like, there was just a lot of just really slow points. I'm struggling to remember when they were. That's how fucking boring they were.
Look, I mean, like, it wasn't very late, and I kind of thought I was just zoning out because of that. But I mean, after this conversation, yeah, there were points that I think there was some really good exposition, but there was just some of it that was just too slow. Like, just a little too, like, not enough. It was just, they weren't pushing whatever they were trying to get across enough.
And it's a really long movie as well. Like, it's
fucking long.
Like, what is it? It's over 2 hours.
It's about 2.5 hours. Yeah. Like 5:15. Yeah, because I've been out at 11:45.
And like, and you're saying you saw it at 9 o'clock, which, yeah, that's always going to suck. But like, I saw it at 11 o'clock today during the day.
Yeah,
and it was slowing down. And I'm kind of like, this shouldn't be slowing down. This is a Mission Impossible movie. I should be fucking in this and, you know, excited for the next action scene. Like, yeah, like we need the fucking drama and we need the exposition, but like, I think they just maybe overdid it a little bit.
Yeah, I thought this too much, but I do want to bring up that it was all worth it for that one moment where Tom Cruise is tied up to a pole.
Yes. And he fucking like climbs up it.
Fucks everyone up. That scene is my favorite scene in the whole movie.
That was sick.
Just watching him beat the shit out. Like, he gets off the pole and he just fucking drop kicks someone. Like, he just fucking jumps into him. Oh my God, it was badass.
You felt, even like, there was one part where he got hit. I think it was in that scene. And they cut, like, it was a quick cut from, you know, a dude punching to his, like, reaction shot. And you saw his cheek fucking. Like vibrating. I'm like, I think he actually just got punched. You know what? I wouldn't put that past Tom Cruise because, like, this is the guy that was hanging on the side of the plane. He's probably, I could imagine him in there just being like, just hit me. Just hit me. Yeah. And the guy's like, oh, sorry, Tom Cruise. But then he fucking climbs up that pole. Holy shit. Why is there just a random pole in the middle of the room? I don't know.
I'm like, you've got one of the toughest agents ever and you've just got a pole that's half cut off. I don't understand why you would, like, literally anywhere else would have been better than that.
Yeah. But that was cool. Like, and, you know, even, you know, she sort of takes her shoes off because it's like she's about to throw down and everything. There's a lot, like, oh, they just do the action's just so well done. Everything leads into itself really well and it all, like you said, finishes in a satisfying way. So
it's an extremely impressive action movie because it's just very well choreographed. Is it Brad Bird that does it?
Nah, this was Christopher McQuarrie.
Ah, well, he did well. Like, Brad Bird must have done the last one.
Yeah, he did Ghost Protocol.
But this one, I just was impressed because action films, as you know, are something I really don't get behind a lot of the time because I zone out or the story just isn't there. But this is one of those ones where I kind of just kind of behind most of the film and it was just made that action so fucking satisfying.
Well,
like, just
in a time where it's pretty hard to impress with action, like, because we've seen just about everything. Like, we've seen car chases, we've seen, you know, people break out of their bonds and fucking fight people in those sort of things. But they've just done enough different and made it feel real a lot of the time. I think it was the realistic, even though it's very, like, there's so much of it's over the top. And I think it's more, like you said, that bullshit luck feel. like this guy just lucked out and did it. But I actually, yeah. I believe that he just got lucky.
Me too. So, I fucking loved it. Yeah. I love that everyone doubts him. Everyone in his team is like, dude, you can't fucking do this. Everyone, like Alec Baldwin's like, shit, the IMF, they're the best. And then within the IMF, they're all just like, oh, fuck. Like every time something comes up, someone's like, Tom, what are you doing, mate? Like, fucking settle down. And I like that. Like, I like that the public perception is that they're amazing, and then within them, they're actually, you know, kind of lucky.
They're just normal people, yeah.
Yeah, and it's like, shit. And then he does things that I'm like, oh, that's, I get that. Like, I'm like, fuck yeah. Like, when he climbs over the pole, I'm like, that's because he's a secret agent. Like, I could totally believe, you know, that's what you're doing.
On that note, like with all the, you know, the kind of the technology and stuff, like Benji's really the IT guy, isn't he? So when he starts like that first scene where he's fucking up trying to open the door of the plane, like I like that he's not just a fucking whiz. He's actually like, come on. Like, you know, like shit, you don't just hit a fucking bunch of numbers or keys and shit happens. Like this, I actually felt like he was in there, you know, trying to shut shit down and override their system. It takes time to do these things, and that made it all the bit better. Like it definitely raised the tension and everything, but it,
God
like,
damn,
it just it. Made me believe more in these characters, you know?
I love that we're saying that these people being professional agents is so unbelievable that it makes it believable. which is, you know, not even wrong.
Talking about some of the technology, some of the shit in this is fucking cool. Like the eye camera, that little eye, the, what do you call it? Like contact lens camera things that were getting around.
What was it? Oh yeah. They just kind of made an appearance and fucked off. They were nothing.
Oh, they had a few things, but there was a lot of cool little, like his little key. I don't even know what it was. Was that in his phone? Like when Benji puts that like iPhone or something in and it actually has a key in it and it goes into the lock. Do you remember that?
Yeah, that was badass.
Yeah, that was really cool. Like, and, you know, Ethan's just got all this fun shit. But I do want to know, though, where the fuck did they get all this stuff? Because they're kind of going rogue.
They have it. That's just Simon Pegg's phone. It's not even. Well,
I get his phone, but there's like, you know, other things.
Well, they're in that safe house, remember? They go to that safe house and they've got all the shit and they turn it on. It's like, it's not been accessed for ages.
Is that an IMF?
Okay.
I thought that was just where Tom was laying low. I thought he just made it all himself or something. I was like, where the fuck did this shit come from?
It looked like a safe house for sure.
But did they say it's a safe house?
No, they didn't say anything, but I mean, like, it makes sense because they go in, he kind of breaks it open and then kind of breaks all of it down and it kind of shifts into this thing and Benji just kind of looks and nods. He's like, oh, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like it's, I guess you can say that, you know, it was need to know basis, but I feel like when the CIA took over, they would have found out about all that sort of shit.
Who knows? Look, I didn't even question it, to be honest, where they got this stuff. They don't really have much. Like, let's think about it. What do they have?
Well, they had all the stuff that they were doing the diving with.
Well, I mean, but like, that was from what's-her-name, who's part of the syndicate, and she would have just got it all from then.
True.
Because she was wearing the oxygen thing.
Yeah, I know she was wearing
before she got
it,
in.
Yeah.
That safe lock was badass, too. I was like, fuck, that's cool. Just chuck it on. Does the work for you.
No, I don't know. I remember thinking during the film, I can't think of anything right now, which probably means that there really wasn't that much. But I just remember thinking, like, these guys are rogue. And, like, it made sense in all the other ones because they had a whole fucking organization behind them. And in this one, it was like they just had these really cool toys, but there was no, what's his name, Q from James Bond to be giving it to them. Because normally it's, I think normally it's Simon Pegg and Ving Rhames who hook him up.
Really? I don't know. I liked it. I didn't question it. But then again, I haven't seen the other ones. I don't think I have lover goggles on or hate goggles or like expectation goggles. I just kind of was like, yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Cool. It's an action film. You got a key that opens safes? Yeah, that's fine. You know?
Yeah.
You got a magical thing that tells you your oxygen if you attach it to your wrist? Whatever, man. You know? Like,
I'm not questioning it by any means. I'm just questioning where they got them from.
Yeah, I get you. I think it was just from the syndicate.
Let's talk a bit about the syndicate. That fucking, the bad guy, What did you think about him?
Oh, who gives a fuck? He was so Google. Oh my God. Like, so, like, I just, who gives a shit? I was just like, I was like, what relevance do you have? He was so redundant the whole time. Oh my God.
He thinks, I couldn't get over his voice, man. Ugh. Trying to put this weird, like, oh, I will come for you, fucking. You're not the Godfather, mate. Like, fucking, you just, it's not nearly as bad, and I feel bad for even comparing. But remember fucking the bad guy in Jupiter Ascending?
We were giving him shit. Oh my God!
That's what I started thinking about, and I was just like, oh, just why do you need to put on this weird raspy voice? Just,
you're right though, he's not even as bad as that. That movie has caused me so much stress.
Yeah, fuck that movie.
I cannot remember it. I can't remember that movie.
Your body's just shut it out. It's like
it was that bad though. No, I didn't like him at all. He was just boring. I was like, you're not
when he first rocked up, I was kind of like, oh, okay, he killed that cute chick at the record store. That's kind of shit. I do want to see him get his comeuppance. But then he just kind of disappears. He became a Marvel villain.
Yeah, he did. It became boring and shit.
Yeah, it was more about, you know, because really the chick becomes more of a villain, ally villain thing for some of it, and then it's just all the henchmen that are kind of the badasses. It's never really him. Like even the final showdown, it's not even that.
That knife fight was badass.
The knife fight.
That's the final showdown. You know, the knife fight between the British chick and the bone.
Oh yeah, that was cool. No, I'm talking about when the main bad guy.
Oh yeah, I didn't give a fuck about that. That was nothing.
When they just trap him in that fucking box.
Nothing.
What the fuck? I guess that's
it was all symbolic and shit, but I'm like, I wanted to see them fight.
Yeah, well, that's what I was expecting, something real intense. Like, and then it was just the, oh, ho, ho, we outsmarted you, because I thought it was like, oh, Ethan's actually been, you know, done over a little bit here. He didn't think this far ahead. Oh, wait, he did, because he thinks of everything.
Yeah, that was just weak. It was just really weak.
I did like how he was somehow controlling Benji at the dinner table, you know, when the bad guy thought he had the upper hand.
Oh, that was cool. Yeah, I liked that.
That was a cool scene. I did like that, but I think I mainly liked that because it was Simon Pegg doing it.
Which is fucking Simon Pegg.
But he, yeah, no, that was really, and you know, again with the tension, like when it was on, they fucking did it well, like, and
always,
and then Ethan's like, well, you know, I've memorized everything, so fucking, you better take your chances, and actually that little shootout after that was really cool as well, because that, you know, he says, I don't kill Ethan, so Ethan basically becomes a shield for the chick.
Yeah, and I love that it goes silent, like that complete silence. I was like,
where they, yeah, they kind of look at each other and they're like, okay, this is what we got to do. Yeah, really cool.
There's men. What did you think of the British girl? Like, what were your thoughts on her?
Well, that's what I was saying before. I did like her, but then I didn't like her at the same time. There's something. Like I was saying before, her scenes were, a lot of her exposition dump scenes with Ethan just talking and shit, I didn't really care for. Like when she's kicking ass, I really liked her. But I don't know, she didn't really have much charm.
Yeah, she was a little meh. Although that knife fight.
Yeah, well, that's what I mean. When she's fighting and doing shit, she's fucking awesome. Like,
she's also really attractive as well.
Yeah, strangely attractive too. Like, it's hard to pick what's really attractive about her. She's got, I think it's her eyes. Her eyes are really like piercing, and
I don't know. I just liked watching her kill that guy with a knife. Man, that fucking fight. Like
watching
was,
her penetrate a man.
That fight was so impressive. Holy shit! My God, I loved it so much. Just watching her like jab this dude—it was badass.
But she,
my God.
Like, she was threatening as well. Like, you know, there's that part where she's in that yellow dress at the the main guy's fucking office, and that henchman comes up behind her with a gun, and she sort of flips around and climbs him, and then like rips the gun out of his hand, and I think she like nearly broke his arm or something like that. Do you remember that piece?
Where was that?
It was, I can't remember, was she's in that yellow dress. It's just after, I think she, no, it's after she, they get out of the opera and she jumps out of the car, you know, when they're getting away. And then she goes up to talk to the big boss man and she's all like, oh, he fucking got away from me. I was like, whoa, man, like. She's fucking badass. Yeah, really cool.
And that dude just got shot for no reason.
Yeah, just because we needed to know that guy was the bad guy.
He's like, I am evil. Bang.
Yeah, but like generally, like I don't know. She's yeah. Like I'm trying to like I'm thinking of the other girls that have been in the like the there was the girl in the second one actually stands out the most to me. She was I can't remember her name. I'm gonna look it up right now. But she was She was pretty cool and probably the worst of the series, but she was, it was like a thief. Thandi Newton is her name.
So the girls like recycle each episode or some shit.
Yeah, like, pretty much like in okay. number three is probably up there for me because he has a wife. Yeah. It's Michelle Monaghan. And, you know, it's a whole thing. He's getting out of the game. And,
what happens to her? She dead.
I think she gets killed. I can't remember. I don't, but she's definitely not around anymore. And then I think there's like some sort of interest in number four, and then you know, then you get another one. It's kind of like okay, so he just keeps getting chicks. All right,
yeah,
it's like Bond girls.
Yeah, pretty much.
It gets to a point where you just expect it.
To be honest, this franchise kind of feels like the American James Bond. I'm sure that's an comparison that many people have made, but watch it, it's just more over the top, more intense. Everything about it is James Bond without the subtlety and class that James Bond has.
Oh, absolutely. You know? But as a kid, and you know, people are going to fucking scorn me for this, but as a kid, I liked Mission Impossible better than James Bond because it was just fun. Fucking, I didn't really have to think, and you know, now I'd probably prefer the James Bond, especially the later James Bond films, but It's just the bigger version of James Bond, really, isn't it?
Yeah.
Being American, yeah. So it's just they try to top themselves. It's like the Fast and the Furious movies. Every movie they have to top the stunts that they did in the first one, the one before it, to make it bigger and better and more outrageous.
It's a franchise, and I can tell them when I'm watching it as well. It's got a very American franchise film feel to it, just the way they reference things, and I don't know, it's something about it. But I that action, man, that knife scene, just got me.
But they do it right, and that's the big thing. Like it's fucking you know, this movie's getting some pretty good critic praise, and like the last one was the most successful of all of them. So if they can get to five and still be fucking kicking it. With the same, you know, they're not doing the James Bond thing where they're changing fucking character or changing the actor. It's all Tom Cruise. And the big thing is that Tom Cruise is you know, he's getting on and he's still fucking making awesome action movies. Like, you wouldn't know that he's in his 50s or whatever he is.
God damn, you wouldn't know. You and I had this argument, though. We're like, oh, how old is he? I thought he was like 40-something. Yeah. He's like mid-50s.
Yeah, he's in, oh. I think he's like 52, 53, I think. Yeah.
Oh, God, it's so weird. He's so young.
I know. Like, yeah, I'm just looking at a picture of him right now, and I'm just like, he could be in his 30s. Like, fucking hell. Good on
him. I do watch this film, though, and see Tom Cruise. It's really hard for me not to see Tom Cruise.
Yeah, well, you were saying that, you know, Tom Cruise plays Tom Cruise really well, and he does. But it's hard... You know, there's very few actors out there that play things, you know, very differently. Like, I feel that most people have their style and they kind of match the film to that a little bit. But Tom Cruise has been playing this role for
a long time.
Yeah, since the 90s. So it's like...
He suits it.
Yeah, well, that's it. Like, don't change it by any means. But, like, you see Jack Reacher and he's basically this... as well. I'm trying to think of any other, what other action movies is he in?
Well, how many, is Tom Cruise even in that much? Like, really? Like,
he was in a lot in the 90s, 80s and 90s.
He was in Oblivion. Was he just Tom Cruise in Oblivion?
Yeah, pretty much.
I know.
Edge of Tomorrow, he was pretty much Tom Cruise.
Although, I have to disagree because I believed his character in Edge of Tomorrow.
Oh, so do I, but he's still playing Tom Cruise. Like, it's still him being Tom Cruise.
I think the thing with him in that was that he was like a dork. I don't know. There's something about it. I felt it.
Well, like, okay, there's badass Tom Cruise and then there's dork Tom Cruise. He's still Tom Cruise. I will say one movie where he was, maybe it's a little bit of a satire on himself, but did you see Rock of Ages?
I'm literally looking at the IMDb list right now. No, I didn't see it.
Watch that, man. He is fucking cool in that movie. Like, yeah. He is just a rock star in that movie. Like, so awesome. It's a really good film for a musical. Not saying musicals are bad, but, like, it's really fun.
Shit. I stand corrected, though, because it seems like he's literally been in a movie each year.
Yeah, he's always around. Last Samurai, he was Tom Cruise and that, but like I like him, and you know we talked about this as well last week. Like, people hate on Tom Cruise, but it's like as a person, and that's fine. Like, I don't really give a shit as long as he keeps making sick movies.
Pretty much, he does. He's a fucking psychopath in real life, which is a shame. But he made Mission Impossible 5, which we're both talking up. So you can't be that bad. Clearly, he's a good guy. But yeah.
All right, should we wrap this up?
Let's do it.
All right, hit us with your final thoughts, Connor McDuff.
This is my first full Mission Impossible film, and to be honest, I quite enjoyed it. I had a good time. The action was really well choreographed, and as someone who doesn't really like action, I came out of it with quite a good taste in my mouth. Not from the cock I was sucking, just from the fact that I liked the movie. It was really good. I had a really good time. I really enjoyed it. It was fast-paced, kept me on the edge of my seat. With a couple of issues like exposition and some characters that really didn't do much, they're quite minor, especially because I love Simon Pegg. But out of 5, I give this 3.5.
Like I said before, I think I might just be getting tired of this franchise, which is weird to say because I really enjoy this franchise and I enjoy what everything is about. Like, looking at the poster of this movie still makes me excited just thinking about that awesome fucking plane scene. Like, just the opening sequence to this is just fantastic, and like we said, every action sequence is perfect. It's some of the best action I've seen in a long time. Like, you know, we watched Terminator last week and the action was cool, but like, it's shit I've seen before. This was taking shit up another notch. Like, the bike scene, I've seen him as this character in a motorbike scene doing, you know, similar things, but they still managed to make me feel surprised at how awesome he is on this bike.
Mainly because of the red shirt.
And those sweet aviators. But it was, it's if they can keep doing that, I will keep watching these movies. But you said it as well. The biggest problem in this for me is the exposition and just the downtime in between action scenes, because I started to not care about any of the fucking twists and turns and goings ons of these, you know, corrupt organizations and shit. I just wanted to see him fucking be a badass, and there was plenty of it, but sometimes it just took a long, long time to get to it. And it became a major problem for me rather than a minor problem like it was for you. Which really, really hurt it for me, because like I came out of it kind of just like, oh yeah. Whereas now that we've been talking about it and the action scenes like going back over them, I'm like, fuck man, this was really sick. Why did I not feel so excited coming out of this? But it is, it's just way too long and there's way too much bullshit in between that I just ended up not caring about. And it might be because I have seen this before in Mission Impossible 1, from what I remember. Like, there's definite, it's easy to, you know, put the two together and see similarities. So, look, I give it a 3.
Oh, wow, I beat you at something today.
I want to give it more, but I just, like, I don't know if I'd see this again.
Yeah, I wouldn't see it again. It's too long.
Yeah, that's
it's way too long.
Yeah, which really sucks because, like, there is a lot to like in it. But yeah, 3 out of 5.
Nice. Look at that. That was a nice quick one today.
Yeah, it was. It won't take me as long to edit it, thank God.
What are we reviewing next week, Fish?
Well, next week, we've already said it, Fantastic Four.
Fuck off! I don't want to fucking do it! Jesus Christ! Fuck superhero movies!
I'm looking forward to it. I think I've brought it up a little bit. The trailers have piqued my interest a little.
Shit! The most boring characters ever. Everyone's like, oh, I'm dramatic. White girl. Fuck off.
No, you're right. Hey, John. Is it John Storm? Cool. He's a black guy now. He's
black, black guy. That's. I'm actually impressed. But the movie still.
No, you're right. You're right. You're absolutely right, though. They're all just Captain Depresso,
They're
though.
They're fucking boring. God damn.
No, I don't think it looks boring. Like, they maybe be boring, but like, I don't know. I'm kind of excited for this darker version of this. I've been going back and reading some of the older comics, and I've never been really a Fantastic Four fan, but there's something about those trailers that got me. So maybe there'll be something.
I don't give a fuck. I don't fucking care. I don't want to watch this fucking movie. Hey, but maybe we might see it together.
We might, because I'm actually going to be in the Gold Coast this coming weekend. So, shit, aren't you guys lucky? We might be in the room again.
You thought it was it? You thought there was just one? There might even be two.
So we're hopefully going to, tee that up. I'm not there for very long, but, for the podcast, I think we can fucking make time. We're going to make time. We'll sit in a fucking alleyway and do it if we have to, but we're going to review Fantastic Four together, and I'm going to watch Connor get angry about it.
Maybe. It might actually be really good. I could be totally wrong.
Well, you're going in with low expectations. So I'm going in with the high ones. It might be a little bit like today where, you might be the one who was like, hey, this was pretty sweet. And I might be like, yeah, it fucking sucked.
Yeah. Or most likely, I'll just fucking hate it.
Yeah, probably.
But whatever. Let's not talk about that. Anyway, I've had a great night. I can hear the music slowly fading in as we talk. Which is great. So I'm going to say what I normally say, which is, play the music, bitch.
Thank you for listening to this episode of Fish and Connor Saw a Movie. Fish and Connor Saw a Movie does not own any rights to the film Mission Impossible Rogue Nation, its marketing, or its soundtrack, and no infringement is intended. The track Finale and Curtain Call is performed by Joe Kramer.